Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change show. I'm thrilled to be with you today. My name is Lisa Rowe, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as the CEO for Support After Abortion. Support After Abortion exists to end the demand for abortion by healing the millions of men and women impacted by abortion. We do that through a combination of our three C's. We want to build as much capacity as possible to serve each and every man and woman who needs help after abortion. But we have to do it through two really key components. We need to actually inspire an entire world that walks in compassion. And then ultimately, we've got to come together as collaborators. Our guest today just shared a really significant thing that I will steal from her, and that we can't keep our puzzle pieces in our pocket. We need to collaborate with one another. We've all been called to something very unique, and together, that puzzle gets put together just the way God has in store. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to Deb Tilden. Welcome, Deb.
Hi, Lisa. It's awesome to be with you. You guys are amazing, the work that you're doing. And I mean, I've really only known you guys for about a year and a half, I think. And it's just, it's exciting. The collaboration word is just kind of, that's, I love connecting people, ministries, and just to see, you know, a world change. Being a catalyst for change is what we're all called to do in our own space and our spheres of influence. And you guys are sure doing it. I love it.
Well, thank you. I mean, Deb, we met at one of our conferences and you embody that ability to collaborate. You felt like a moderator oftentimes for some of our presentations. And so will you introduce yourself to our audience? How did you connect with the movement, and what is your current work in the movement look like?
Okay. Well, one thing's for sure, I never would have thought my decision of having an abortion 40 years ago in Portland, Oregon, would have led me to what I'm doing now. But really what motivates me is the experience of my own journey and the things that I was not told. Women are still being told today what I was told 40 years ago, and that needs to change. The things I was not told of that decision, how that would affect me as a woman, my physical, emotional, and psychological health, my up and coming marriage. You know, we made the decision not to allow our firstborn child, even though we were engaged to be married and our wedding date was set for 6 months ahead, but I would have been, you know, very pregnant by that time. And we needed to cover up our secret that we were being intimate before our marriage. I was a good church girl, grew up in the church, and really had been in a season of walking away from God and really hearing his voice and being led in that direction. And so, you know, that decision as a young, engaged, scared, very uninformed, and, you know, falling into really buying into the lies of those who are, I'll say, peddling, you know, the abortion on demand scenario. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. Had no idea how much that would affect the patterns of self-destructive behavior that I would fall into. And the thing is, when they don't really give a full disclosure or informed consent or all of those things that we now are really talking about and pushing for, when that's not present, and then you start going, and all they say is, you know, it's not a baby yet, it's just a blob of tissue, you know, you're just going to be able to, life can get back to normal again. I was never normal again, and my life did not just go back. It wasn't like hitting a reset button and then everything was honky-dory again. The obsessive eating, over-exercising. I would binge eat, then I would go and exercise for 3 hours. And the alcohol, drug abuse, just again, self-destructive behaviors. And then as the years went by, and having children later, the ability to bond with my future children. And, you know, as we've unpacked that and through my own healing, and then the last almost 20 years of working with others, women, I mean, probably the most eye-opening was, you know, after 23 years, my husband and I never had discussed that day since that day. We were engaged at the time, we did marry, but the statistics for successful, you know, for staying married, it's, you know, the divorce rate for those who've experienced abortion are, you know, 80% divorce rate. And so by the grace of God, we just celebrated our 40-year anniversary. But oh my goodness, Lisa, the journey, the roller coaster ride. And again, I don't take that word lightly, by the grace of God. And the prayers of people, my grandmother who prayed, who probably didn't even know any of this that was going on in my life. And just the people that God put in my life, that was kind of, I remember distinctly one particular encounter with Sheila Harper of Save One, when she first launched her book in the early 2000s. I met her at a women's event, and it was still not on my radar, that because I had pushed it back so far into, you know, you put it in a little Pandora's box and you take the key and throw it away and it's never going to come out, and because we're not given the opportunity to really hear the truth and know the truth of how the decision of aborting our children in the womb, there is such a neurobiological connection that happens. Women know first, you know, within days usually, you know, our bodies are wired for that. And you have the chemical neurobiological exchange going on between mother and child. And if for us to think that there is none and that it's no big deal, that there is no consequences, that all of that happening, to ignore it and not to give that full disclosure. But through that journey, the first time I went through one of the healing recovery programs, and that was when I lived in Sacramento, California, went through, it was kind of, it was funny how God finally got my attention, all the different touch points that from the time I met Sheila, and we had a discussion, but again, it was like, no, I'm fine. I don't need healing. Healing from what? Nobody had been talking about it. And you just kind of ignore it. Denial is not just a river in Egypt, is the things I will say. And it does affect different people in different ways. I will say that it's not, you know, it's not a cookie cutter thing. But to go through the healing and recovery, the first time I really stepped into it, and it was really amazing how God took me on that path. I had shared my testimony on the Capitol steps in Sacramento, California. And the executive director for the Pregnancy Care Center approached me and asked if I'd like to have lunch. And she thanked me for sharing my testimony. And she asked if I'd like to meet the abortion recovery leader. And so, sure. And then I'd always had a heart that I wanted to have, you know, get with other women who had that, like a support group. But there really wasn't anything out there. But once I met with them and wanted to actually go through their training to become an abortion healing and recovery mentor, they required that you go through the healing and recovery program. At the time, it was Forgiven and Set Free. And so I did. And that journey, just to hear the stories of other women, there were eight of us in the group. And it was so, it's like all of the different, whenever I would pause long enough to really wonder why my life and why I was so emotionally a mess, that any of that had to do with my abortion. Mm-hmm. By this time, I had three kids. I'm going to get emotional, I can tell. I had no idea that my depression and during October had anything to do with my past abortion. Again, there's that epigenetic neurobiological connection. And then the birth date, which would have been around the delivery date of my daughter, and Mother's Day. I could not understand. I had a beautiful home, loving husband, three children, beautiful children. On the surface, everything looked so good and so wonderful. But oh my gosh, I would find myself crying on Mother's Day. And I didn't understand why. But when I went through that healing and recovery group, every single woman had a varied experience that way. And that confusion around Mother's Day that you really couldn't put your finger on. And then it was just like a light went on for, and some of the gals were, everybody's going through a different space and a different journey. And so some of them had a little bit harder time connecting with that, but there was the majority of us that were like, oh my gosh, to finally hear somebody else that was going through and experiencing the same thing. And you're like, wow, I'm not crazy. And I'm not, you know, this make, it started to make sense as we started to unpack our individual stories. And in those journey of the healing and recovery, there's a lot of journaling that you do, asking God questions. It actually takes you through a guided process of really a grief journey of acknowledging that life, acknowledging who God is in that, because that's the first chapter in all of the studies, the character of God. God loves me unconditionally, no matter what I did, what I've done in the past. He wants me to get back on the path to wholeness, but that's through him. He wants us whole. And so that really has been, I've been through a lot of different healing and recovery programs. Some of it has been to just know and understand the different programs that are out there. And I've gone through life coach training now. And so I've done that for several years. And one interesting thing about my life coaching practice, I was finding about 70% of my clients had actually had abortions in their past. So, because we do kind of an unpacking and an assessment, and it's a very delicate subject. So we kind of, but it is in the intake form. And then we, you know, I get permission to kind of step back from the actual life coaching curriculum that I do, which is Identity and Destiny, and unpack the journey. And I share within the different healing programs that they might want to decide to go through. And then that has been such a profound eye-opening process in and of itself. And then as just society has gone on with this narrative that abortion, no big deal, but yet I'm seeing in my everyday coaching practice, everyday life, working with the pregnancy care centers and just meeting people, people have a tendency to just kind of open up, just in conversation. It's amazing. And it truly is the Holy Spirit, because you can meet a perfect stranger and somehow the conversation ends up, you know, usually when you're sharing about what you do, you know, and I just share all the different aspects of what I do. And it's truly amazing how many people, perfect strangers you meet on an airplane, in the airport or a restaurant or any different places, where helping them to understand this dynamic that you otherwise, it's been made into such a political issue. And yes, I work with Smart Women's Healthcare in the political arena. It's more trying to get public policy, and just the messaging in the marketplace needs to change. Mm. Women should be given full disclosure. Women, and you know, the sad part is that women are always going to find themselves, you know, in our culture, there's always going to be those who seek after an abortion and those who are willing to perform them, whether or not they're legal or not. So I try to get people to just kind of peel back all the political ideology, the narrative, whatever's going on. These are women who are many, many, like I was myself, suffering in silence. And we need to just become safe. You know, they need a safe haven, safe people that will just listen to their story, because a lot of it is just unpacking that story and being able to just acknowledge where they're at, where they want to go. And that's kind of that life coaching process that I take people through. And a lot of people are stuck. And it's oftentimes I refer the client to a counselor, a licensed professional, because if a lot of years have gone by since that abortion, and a lot of, and oftentimes, sadly, multiple abortions, and when these women are told that it has no impact, that's really a dangerous space with where things are today in the culture, where there's this absolute concerted effort to lie, deny, and cover up the bigger scope of the worldwide best available science of abortion's risks, complications, and causal links on women's lifelong healthcare. We need to open up the dialogue. And that's really the path God has me on now. I still do the life coaching, but what I've been spending a lot of time in is the education space of smart women's healthcare. Started with a colleague in 2016. SMART stands for Science Matters in Abortion-Related Trauma. And we really try to focus on all of the different resources that are out there. And we have a great website that we're just, it's changing every day because we're adding, speaking of collaboration, we have a heading. Our website is smartwomenshealthcare.com. We have a heading that is collaboration, working with people from the medical field, the mental health field, and just the abortion healing and recovery world. We have support after abortion on there that people can link to. We need to build this network. I just see it as God creating this tapestry of all of the different things and the people, and so many of those that we work with are women, men, couples who have actually gone through the abortion experience themselves. So that's been that kind of a driving force or a foundation as to why it's important to them. Whenever I meet with a legislator regarding the public policy issue of women's healthcare, we meet with the public policy leaders in those offices that are in their healthcare space, women's healthcare especially. Some legislators actually have a women's healthcare aide that we work with. And I start with my story as to why I'm doing this. I'm not a paid lobbyist. And it's really just, for me, it's all about legacy. What are we passing on? I feel like right now we're throwing the kids, you know, our kids in public schools that are being taught abortion on demand, abortion is no big deal. And all of the things that go along with that, you know, just casual sex and casual abortion, it's not non-consequential. There are lots of consequences to that. Because it devalues. It devalues you, it devalues the other person. And when a child is created, you know, that, I mean, the devaluation of another human being is, there's so many things tied to that, and we're not wired for that. And so it's no wonder that so many of the things that with the mental health space, we're not created to do that, to kill. There's even work now in the area of moral injury and how that affects us as human beings, and, you know, abortion and pregnancy loss, can be in that space depending on the actual circumstance and experience. So, you know, that's why I get up every day, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough sometimes. There's been times I've, like you mentioned earlier, that puzzle piece, I kind of had it tucked in my pocket there for a while and tried to run from it. And then it was just like, God was saying, okay, honey, you know, God's such a gentleman. And it was like this audible voice, you know, I'm not going to force you to do anything, but you have to know I am with you every step of the way. And if you aren't going to take this mantle, the baton, whatever, somebody else will, and I will, you know, someone else will. And that really, when I took a pause back and I really looked at everything, and it was just like, what was I afraid of? You know, we're all afraid at different points to speak in public, to be so, to put your story out there, you know, because you're putting your story out there, and there are those out there that will try to silence you or discredit or discount your story. And that's hard. And there's, and I think that's partly why there's a lot of that suffering and silence, people not wanting to come forward and talk about it, partly because they're afraid of the accusations that will come. It's a tough place to be, to just unpack it to yourself. There's a lot of journey. Through this journey of the 20 year, I have a whole shelf in my office that's journals from this process. And I'm working on actually putting a book together, compilation of all the different times since 99 that I've shared my testimony, because it's been a peeling back like the layers of an onion. When you peel an onion, you cut an onion, and you cry. A lot of tears have been shed over this journey, but it's always been in that safe place where God, I know God has me. He loves me. I am forgiven. And, but it's important to unpack that stuff, because otherwise it's swirling around in your head. There was a friend that I went through a training with that she put it so well, and I'm not sure even where this quote comes from. I don't remember if it's hers or she quoted it from somebody else, that when we journal, those thoughts that are swirling and entangled in our heads, when we put that pen to or pencil, whatever, it is good to not just journal on a computer, but to actually write. But those thoughts, those wild, weird, confusing thoughts can become disentangled as it goes down onto that paper. Because sometimes we are so stuck in our heads and we have such negative self-talk that devalue ourselves, you know, how stupid could I have been to make that decision? And, you know, that space that we live in for a while sometimes about regret. Oh, I had to go through a really intense time of just letting go of the regret so that it really didn't eat me alive. You know, I actually had somebody relating to a post I had on Facebook a couple days ago. Just all they did was put out a statement. I shared just a little bit of my story, but all that they said in response, well, the majority of women do not regret, do not, in all caps, regret having abortions. And I took a pause for a day before I responded, because, you know, I don't know where her space is. I don't know where she's coming from when she writes that comment. And I never want to just react. I used to react. And just coming from, you know, your guys' first statement too is compassion. We don't know where the person, whether it's on the other end of the, you know, Facebook screen or phone line, whatever it is, we don't know what their story is or their journey or where they're at. And I want to be one that's bringing life into that person's life and maybe planting a seed that they hadn't thought of before. And we're so quick to respond and to react. And, you know, this is a very intense subject, the issue of abortion, mm-hmm. pregnancy loss. But I'm so grateful for the healing towards my own wholeness. And in just the journey of, you know, compiling the stories of my testimony, of it's amazing at all the different things. Each one is a little bit different. You know, a lot of speakers will, you know, do one kind of a canned speech. I just always, it's like, okay, Lord, you know my audience, you know who's going to be sitting there, you know what they need to hear, and what do I need to to hear from you that's important for this space right now. So, and it's like I said, the peeling of an onion and just all the different aspects. When 23 years go by that you didn't talk about the ending of your first child's life with the man that you made that choice with, he provided the money. He basically, the man at that time, and still today, you're just supposed to, you know, back up what the woman decides to do. But the breakthrough in our healing journey was when he apologized. And this was 23 years later from the date of our abortion, that apologized for not being there for us, not being the man he could have and God would have wanted him to be, to stand there with us through the tough times of having to go to our parents and just all of the things that we would have done and had to do in that space of had we chosen life for our firstborn child.
Thank you so much, Deb, for sharing that. And I'm so grateful that that was your journey, because that's so uncommon. As you mentioned earlier, most relationships end because of all the turmoil that you've talked about in divorce or separation. So I want our audience to hear the anguish that Deb struggled with for years and what it took to find a place of freedom for her. And I'd love to just reiterate what you said, Deb, and that is that people need to talk about abortion healing with compassion, so that others who are living in that 23 years of not even talking to the person you're most intimate with, that we need to provide space for that. And so I love that your story circles back around and there is that redeeming quality. And I do believe it teaches us, Deb, about how important it is for us to carry that with us as we lead in our families, in our communities, in our schools, that abortion isn't that four-letter word that nobody talks about. It needs to be a word that we use with compassion, but knowing that a lot of people around us have been impacted. So as we get ready to wrap up, Deb, how can people reach out to you, connect with you, if they're interested in learning more about your ministry or sharing their journey with you?
Well, we do have two websites, because I have my life coaching website, and that is lifevictory.com. You can actually see behind me on the other side, our logo, lifevictory.com. And that has really all the different scope of everything that we do, because we focus on spirit, soul, and body. And the Smart Women's Healthcare is really about the advocacy and the education, building public policy. Our mission statement is forging a science-based holistic framework of women's healthcare programs and partnerships impacting education and public policy. And that's really the area we want to get some of our resources that are on our website, smartwomenshealthcare.com. And you can find all of my contact information on there. Reach out to me if you want to have a conversation over the phone, a Zoom call, you know, whatever, however I can help, you know, expand on that greater understanding. A lot of it's just, I tell people too, because when people try to say, oh, that, why are we not hearing about this? And I just say, look at the research, use common sense, peel away all the political rhetoric, but don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself and know and understand it. And the other part on our website, like I mentioned before, is our collaboration link, where we have, you know, if you're looking for somebody, we have Dr. Angela Lanfranchi is a breast cancer researcher, breast cancer surgeon, and a professor. She started the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute. So they're one of our resources, helping women understand that there's more to their reproductive health than the pill or abortion or all of these different things that are pushed their way. We work with an organization called Facts About Fertility. They're on that link. We focus on the holistic healthcare of women from, you know, our fertility and our reproductive health affects really everything our life, because when women are dealing with, you know, the pill is actually a type 1 carcinogen on the World Health Organization list, and we're handing it out like candy. And young women don't realize just how serious of a product that is. You know, there's work to have the FDA put black labels on birth control pills, just like there is on packets of cigarettes. Mm. So women deserve to have that education. And, you know, I'd love to have a conversation. There's a lot of resources on our website that you can just download and access. We have a page that's various research studies and the resources to find that we have. The Hush documentary, if you haven't seen hushfilm.com, I strongly encourage it. And it we have a complimentary booklet you can download as a PDF to accompany while you're watching the documentary. And it really focuses on the breast cancer, preterm birth, and mental health decline and increase in suicide from abortion. And the other thing I would say too is abortion is a relationship decision. That was not even in my space of thinking at the time. My husband, fiance at the time, we were making a parenting and a relational decision for ourselves and for our child. And little did we know just how much that, and we don't talk about abortion in that space of being a relationship decision. That relationship was created in carrying that child in my womb. And all of that biochemical exchange, you know, the neurobiology of pregnancy is a huge space that we don't talk enough about in this space of abortion, reproductive education, reproductive health. And we just need to, the more we're talking about, that's why I love what you're doing, because you're opening up that space, a safe place for people to, you know, and again, I see it as, I'm not going to, you know, convince everybody that I talk to, but I hope to plant some seeds to help someone, no matter what space they're in. If they're in the space of decision, you know, there's pregnancy care centers that so many of them are offering full medical services. They are out there. If I had had, you know, pregnancy care centers were not available. They weren't out there in 1980. And that was something that came along later. And I always, you know, there's been that space of wondering, it's if there had been a pregnancy care center instead of only the abortion clinic, would my child be living the life that we're in today? And that's another story of a book. My daughter and I are working on a book. We've got the table of contents and some of the idea behind it, where she wants to write a book of what it would have been like to have had her life with her big sister in it.
And look how your healing is penetrating the next generation. It's all what we talk about. Well, Deb, yeah. I'm so grateful that you have chosen to let your pain become your purpose. And man, yes. Your light is shining into so many beautiful places. Thank you so much for joining us today. As Deb mentioned, if you're interested in learning more about her work, she has the two websites she's mentioned, Life Victory and Smart Women, which she shared with you the web address earlier. Also, if you're interested in connecting with Support After Abortion further, please contact us at our website, supportafterabortion.com. We look forward to continuing our conversations next week. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.